This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
Good yawning this morning, and welcome back to Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, your station for fresh news, smart talk all day. We're talking BPL again today. I have representatives from the 242 Small Business Association and Resource Center in studio with me today to talk about the impact of the energy crisis and their forecasted impact of these most recent energy reforms. But before we get there, I want to start the show with a little housekeeping. We're going to call it Triple H today for all of my wrestling fans. Oh, for all my sports fans, congratulations to the Celtics. 4-1. I also have to congratulate Mr. Eric Sawyer because he pretty much predicted a quick, rapid, and decisive extermination of the competition. But later in the week, on Friday, we're going to talk more basketball. Back to Triple H. HHT, Hannah Hasty Times family reunion is soon upon us. We have 6 weeks left to go. People, we will be reaching out to members for their support. In particular, I need a whole bunch of bubblers for the beach picnic. I need people who could bubble in the water to form a safety barrier to ensure all the little kids don't float away at the funnest function at the Hannah Hasty Tynes family reunion taking place this August 1st through 5th, New Providence, Bahamas. On another note, I want to warn the general public and alert the cyber crimes unit in the Royal Bahamas Police Force that there seems to be an uptick in hacking attempts through the WhatsApp app. There seems to be a number of hacking attempts. All of the individuals I've encountered, I have advised them to share this experience and all of the information related to the cyber crimes unit in the Royal Bahamas Police Force. This is a very serious matter. We please be alert, be vigilant, be prudent, and alert authorities as quickly as possible. Now to the third H. I'm going to make this very quick because we do have a full and exciting conversation this morning. On Thursday of last week, I had the most amazing adventure. I should have told you all about it on Monday, but I was considering turning it into a script, a movie script, because it was indeed a movie that I witnessed on Thursday afternoon on my way home from the studio. See, I know a little shortcut through town. I'd like to thank an elder member of the community for pointing it out to me. There used to be a shortcut from the east to the west. If you went on Dowswell Street, you used to be able to cut from Dowswell Street straight from Victoria Avenue across Elizabeth Avenue across to the bank parking lot and make your way. You duck all that traffic on Shirley Street. Unfortunately, that little shortcut has been closed off. There is another shortcut to heading west to east where you could block out all that traffic on Bay Street, make your way from Cumberland Hill to East Street, back to Bay Street. Well, on my little adventure on Thursday, I made my way to Market Street from Cumberland Street. If you don't know, it's George Street, King Street, Market Street. When I turn onto Market Street, You always have to be very careful because cars are parked illegally all along King Street and Market Street. That's not the problem, though. That's not what we're talking about today. What we're talking about today is when I turned onto Market Street, I turned right from King Street, I always look up at the light at Shirley Street to gauge how much time I have, but I could make a green light or not. So I looked up at the light. It was already green. I said, it's unlikely I'll make that light cycle. And then I realized that the vehicle that I saw at the light that I thought would be crossing over Shirley, either entering Shirley Street westbound or crossing to Market Street or Peck Slope, their vehicle was in reverse. They were reversing down Market Street next to the Central Bank. In fact, they reversed their vehicle all the way down Market Street back to Trinity Place and then sort of parked their car in the middle of the road, blocking both lanes on Market Street to take you to Shirley Street. So I tapped my horn gently just to make the driver aware that they were now obstructing traffic. Like, you could cut a movie. You could cut a movie if you want to cut a movie. But when you begin obstructing traffic, it becomes a problem. So I tapped my horn gently. The vehicle did nothing. Just sat there. So then I blew on my horn, tested it out. And the gentleman driving the hearse that had reversed down Market Street from Shirley Street light back to Trinity Place cussed at me for bothering him, apparently, for being in a rush, for being impatient, for being impetuous. Can't I see he's doing something? I could see you were doing something, sir. I thought you were filling out a form to Sandilands. That's what I thought you were doing. These are the types of things that we are forced to experience every day on the road. They will continue to escalate until the Royal Bahamas Police Force takes the task of traffic enforcement seriously. That's the least of my adventures over the last few days. I will tell you all about how on Fowler Street, waiting to enter Bay Street with two cars in front of me, watch the first car stop properly at the stop sign and wait for traffic to clear. The car behind him began to encroach on the intersection on the right-hand side. See, y'all have this little trick. Y'all think it's a trick. But I see Grammy now. I could see through your trick. You think that if you block up the corner, the person who's attempting to enter the corner has to let you go. They have to give you your way. They have to abdicate right of way and give you your way because you have blocked the road. It's just easier. In fact, I'm going to quote, "Miss, why are you being so stingy? Why you just don't let me out the corner?" "Well, I didn't let you out the corner because I don't think you can drive. You know? And my good Christian duty is to protect other people from people who know they can't drive, but they jump behind the wheel of a car anyway. I used to think it was the Royal Bahamas Police Force's professional duty. Turns out it isn't. It's okay." What happened next? A police vehicle attempting to turn up Fowler Street indicated to the first car that they could come out. The second car looked up, saw the police vehicle, and decided, "Hold my beer. I can run this stop sign right in front of these police officers. In fact, I can block it up. They have to let me out." And so what did the police officers do? A truck full of big, sturdy men in uniform do? They just let the boy run the stop sign in front of them. That's what they did. I then proceeded east on East Bay Street, approaching Montague, in the right lane, put on my turn signal from way back at East Villa. Because I know there are a lot of curves. You know, people are watching the road, watching the potholes and the man cover. So I put on my turn signal well in advance. Cars are approaching the stop sign at the Montague exit. I say approaching, notice I didn't say they were stopping at the stop sign at the Montague exit. In fact, three cars decided to run the stop sign as I was entering the lane they were both entering. There was a police truck, a different police truck, with other sturdy police officers in it who drove upon the scene, witnessed it, and did nothing. I'm just saying. It's my moral duty and my ethical duty as a human rights advocate to focus on these things. It turns out there are some people amongst us that have a professional duty to do these things, and they get paid to do these things, yet they don't, and then they will tell you that it's not their job. In fact, they have, as opposed to enforcing traffic controls, they're also breaking traffic controls in front of drivers. And in this culture, that's an endorsement to practice foolishness. Anyway, That's the Triple H of housekeeping this morning on the Clock with Aaron Green. We are going to transition quickly to our discussion again with the 242 Small Business Association and Resource Center. We are talking about the impact of the energy crisis and potential impact of these most recent energy reforms on small businesses. I want to take a short quote from today's Tribune. Davis defends BPL and new hospital plans. Quote, at this point, we are facing the prospect of an energy crisis as crucial parts of our aging power grid are in danger of collapse. And there's a comma. I'm not even going to let the Prime Minister finish his sentence. Let me start here. You are facing the prospect of an energy crisis. We have been living an energy crisis for the last 30 years, Prime Minister. I find your statements incredulous because you too have been deeply involved in politics, overtly involved in frontline politics for easily the last 30 years. How dare you come to us with all of your pretty political poetics and tell us that we are facing the prospect of an energy crisis. What does COI say? Change ain't coming, it's already here. The crisis is already here, sir, and you are extremely late to the table. Gentlemen, please introduce yourselves.
Good morning, Bahamas. Mark A. Turnquest. I'm the president of the 242 Small Business Association Resource Center. I'm also the founder, Mr. Toot.
Good morning, Eddie Toot. I'm the treasurer here at the 242 for Small Business Association. Happy to be here.
Good morning, gentlemen. Please give us a brief description of the Small Business Association and Resource Center, its mandate, and some of the programming that you engage in.
Okay, basically in a nutshell, we was founded in 2000, September the 4th, and in fact, we was founded during a march. We marched in September 2020 because of the we was locked down, and we was saw no site to reopen. So we marched to reopen the country, and as a result, a couple of months after that, it was relaxed. But you know, those years was rough for us because they call us, you know, non-essential. But we are essential because we feed our family. We don't work 9 to 5. Mm-hmm. So if we don't be open, and a lot of our small business owners closed down and was really disappointed. So, and after that, we moved into a movement. In 2021, we started the 242 Small Business Association Resource Center. And our mandate was to make sure that anything in the future in reference to small business development must be, you know, decided with all of our small business owners, including the Chamber of Commerce and other organizations who participated in the small business development of the country. And we all we want to do is to make sure that when policies are created, we want to ensure that we get what I call an understanding of what's going on in community. And also, we are an advocate for the Small Business Act of the country from 2009, after I had a summit, small business summit in the country. We're supposed to have a Small Business Act, but 15 years later, there's no legislation. Every time a government comes into power, the strategy changes. Mm-hmm. And the problem is, because I don't remember in 2002, we had a domestic investment board, mm-hmm. and it was a good strategic initiative by the PLP government. Then the FLM government came in and disbanded the whole Ministry of Financial Services and everything else gone. I had 50 business plans with small business owners, and that disbanded. And every year, the strategy changed. In 2012, I was one of the consultants in the development of the SMEDA, Small Business Development Agency. Mm-hmm. But that was disbanded, and now the Small Business Development Center created. So every other year, there's something new going on. But we want stability. Mm-hmm. Once the stability is taking place, because take for instance, once the Small Business Act is legislated, mm-hmm. everything will be unified, and all we gotta do is change based on economic conditions. all the small business community want is consistency, stability, and all governments, don't care who they are, to perform in a what I call a small business, pro-small business way.
Absolutely. How many members are a part of the center?
Right. Basically, this is how we do. We represent many, many, many small business owners in the country.
Mm-hmm.
But our organization is management.
Okay.
We have about 65 members who manage directly and indirectly mm-hmm. the organization. It's not a number scheme. Okay. It's a management game.
Okay.
Because we are not into anything else but advocacy.
Okay.
So we because we have a lot of members who enjoyed, but they look scary. Because even with our march, we got the march, approval the day of the march.
Mm-hmm.
And half of them stayed and so scared to go in the march because they'll be, they get in trouble with the police. But the problem is that if you're scared, you're already there.
Well, that's I know that advocacy quote. Absolutely. So can you give us an estimation of how many small and medium-sized enterprises or businesses are currently operating in the Bahamas?
Well, basically, it is a lot. Maybe up to 49,000, 50,000. But do you know that 91% of the country small businesses. 91% of our business registry is small businesses.
91% of the registry.
Exactly.
Okay.
So that means, and you have all formal business, informal business. There's so many. I mean, there's so many small businesses out there. The challenge is that a lot of them are informal.
And not registered.
Exactly. But 90%, based on the government statistics,
mm-hmm.
because the government said, straight and bland, 91% of small businesses don't pay no taxes.
I got you.
So that all of them is under $100,000.
Okay.
So if you're not making annual sales more than $100,000, you don't pay business license fees.
All right. So let's start here. In the numerous articles that have come out over the last 2 weeks,
mm-hmm.
today we're going to be focusing on four particular articles. We've stopped complaining on high light bills. Businesses voice concern on new BPL rate structure.
Mm-hmm.
BPL tariff rate hike will lead to price increases. And Chamber warns on energy cost increase for most businesses, right? In these articles, the Minister Responsible for Energy and Transport, Colby Davis, has said that small and medium sized enterprises are not a part of the category they call general services, right? And that the vast majority of these businesses are not consuming more than 800,000 kilowatt hours per month. Just now you said that the majority of businesses in the Bahamas are small businesses
mm-hmm.
and are not hitting the minimum income revenue for VAT. $100,000. Right, $100,000. Are those businesses, though, actually consuming more than 800 kilowatt hours per month?
Yes, but okay, let me give a case in point, right? Mm-hmm. I'm going to let Mr. Toot from Designer Boutique.
Yeah.
There's a lot of convenience stores,
mm-hmm.
small supermarkets, not the bigger ones, the smaller ones, the mom and pop stores.
Yeah, yeah.
And, who have air conditioning. I want to talk about the same ones that need air conditioning and all that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So Mr. Toot will explain to you exactly in reference to his energy costs.
And his experience.
Exactly.
Okay. Well, let's slide right over there if you're ready, Mr. Toot. Tell us what types of businesses do you operate and, of course, the impact of the ongoing energy crisis on your operations?
Good morning again. In reference to the kilowatt hours, 800, that's almost just with every business, all right? I average between my businesses 1,100 kilowatt hours a month in my businesses.
Mm-hmm.
So I definitely will be impacted by this. And this is even after Ivan went through the advice of the government and to, I guess, just trying to streamline the business, installing all of the LED lights, buying high-efficiency air conditioners, and all those things to try and be, what do you call it, efficient in terms of how much
energy consumption,
Energy consumption I use, you know. And even that was difficult because these energy-efficient things cost more money, mm-hmm. you know. For ACs, for instance, there's something called, they go in series, you know, the higher the sera, mm-hmm. the less current it uses. I think the lowest right now is the 13 sera. The cost of those units are very, very attractive to small businesses because it's minimum to invest in.
Mm-hmm.
However, the energy consumption is huge. But when you have persons who have very limited budgets, that's what they're going to be drawn to. You know,
mm-hmm.
But to outfit your business with these energy efficient things are very, very costly.
Are you running any refrigeration or freezer units in any of your businesses that are consuming approximately or over 1,100 kilowatt hours per month?
None of my business have those things. I just run air conditions, lights, computers.
Computers.
So margin those freezers.
Yeah, and when I say computers, I mean. Each store has one computer. That's the register.
Point of sale system. Right. Yeah. Those require air conditioning. They will begin to break down or malfunction if they are not stored in a correctly conditioned room.
Yeah, if they're not cool, you know, you cut down the lifespan of these units.
Right.
Yeah.
Do you all think that that is something that the state must take into consideration, particularly with its digitization strategy, that an increase in technology within businesses and structures requires an increase in energy consumption to maintain the proper environment for the operation of those computer systems?
They should definitely take that into consideration. And another thing what we probably didn't be overlook into is VAT is added to light bills that's $300 or more a month,
mm-hmm.
right? That's about every small business again, you know? That doesn't meet the $100,000 threshold. So they're not charging VAT to their customers to recoup that VAT.
Mm-hmm.
So that VAT actually is an additional expense to them.
Absolutely.
So maybe that needs to increase.
Absolutely.
Yeah, okay, because what it is that every small business have certain expenses that they can't get around. Rent. You got to pay rent,
mm-hmm.
right? You know, you got to pay your little bank loans here and there.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You got to meet salaries.
Mm-hmm.
Plus, you got to meet contribution margin for NIB.
Mm-hmm.
And then light bill.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, VAT expense. Because VAT is an expense for all small business under $100,000. That's how it is. So we have a lot of, at least five major expenses. And there's a lot of convenience stores who have coolers, these little small restaurants, bars, and you know, little convenience stores, you know, or freezers.
Mm-hmm.
And my recommendations for them was, okay, because all of them come to me and say, turn, because, you know, and this is before this energy crisis. It was like a couple of years ago, long time ago.
Mm-hmm.
So what to do in reference to how to control our business, you know, by making some adjustments. So my recommendation is that, okay, you got to determine, are you going to sell more sodas and juices and all of those smaller cheese and all that over the freezer or cooler? That's a decision. The freezers is burning more than coolers.
However, there are health and safety requirements that have to be adhered to in terms of the proper storage of particular items.
I'll talk about sodas and all that.
Yeah, absolutely.
Right. So you have to be careful because in reference to what you do, right? So certain things is probably can get a smaller cooler and throw away the old big cooler because, you know, in those days, people love these big coolers.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, big freezers. You can't deal with them no more. You need, and with the coolers.
I just need you to know, I need something big enough that I could take everything out of it, jump in it, and hide from my children.
Well, that's a different story. Yeah, so there's decisions got to be made in reference to the energy. And that's before the increase in energy costs. And I want to talk about inflation will kill us over the years. Even only February this year, things minimized in reference to shipping costs and inflation.
Mm-hmm.
Case in point, a couple of years, I talk about a long time, I talk about this 10, 15 years ago, up until lately. Small business in Carmichael Road, Robinson Road, East Street,
mm-hmm.
have to determine in the summer now, that's very important,
yes,
how much money we can lose in the summer based on our light bill being off of low because of load shedding. That was a fact. Mr. Toot, lucky, and let Mr. Toot explain to you, because even with us renting, we cannot put generators because everybody can't be connected to the generator, you know, in one establishment, you know, where you have 10 stores.
Mm-hmm.
I asked Mr. Toot what he was privileged to do on Robinson Road to one of these stores. I asked him.
Hey, Mr. Toot, what were you doing on Robinson Road?
yeah, to you know, because as business persons, we got to look at how we could keep the doors open, you mm-hmm. know, keep customers coming. And because of the drastic load shedding, we had to invest in generators. At two of our locations, we had to put generators so that things could continue to flow and function, because customers aren't going to shop uncomfortable. They're not going to come in a dark store. They're going to come in a hot store.
You know? Well, that's one thing I was going to ask. Are customers acknowledging the shifts that businesses have to make to maintain affordable prices in the stores?
Customers, they're not directly noticing it. Because of the increase in, well, I'm talking from a retail point of view, mm-hmm. because of the increase of these online shipping companies, you know, customers tend to now be looking at what's on the shelf locally, what's on my computer screen,
mm-hmm.
comparing prices, and that's one of our, and that's another hurdle of ours, you know. So they're not even concerned that, hey, y'all have light on and current off in the area.
Mm-hmm.
All they know is current off, let me come back another time, you know. Mm-hmm. And any customer that comes in your door and walk out without a bag, that's a loss it.
Yeah, I just want to put in a little plug for one small business I know. It seems that like the customers of Mama Co's are very considerate and understanding, because sometimes it's a small business, right. They have a number of coolers and freezers, right? It's a small convenience store.
Right.
And often on a weekend or on certain days, they will have the AC off and doors open, mm-hmm. right? And so like on a Saturday, it hot. A little children piling up for chicken wing and salty and cup and macaroni and fritter, $4 fritter. And I think everybody understands for those $4 fritters, sometimes you go stand online and it could be hot.
Yeah.
Sometimes the AC ain't gonna be on, mm-hmm. right? But then they have the cup freezer right there, so you could go and get a cup to eat while you're in the line hot. They also have accommodations for the customers.
Yeah, and also with Mr. Toot, generators are very expensive, and mm-hmm. he knows that. And of course, the gasoline and the maintenance fees on that.
So are we lobbying for all commercial retail rental spaces, all like plazas, or each rental space, right, in a unit in a plaza or in a structure? Are we advocating that property owners now for commercial retail spaces or wholesale spaces must install generators?
Not really, because that's a judgment cost. Because what happened is that if that occurred,
mm-hmm.
that means the rent going up.
Mm-hmm.
So it is not a necessity, right? But we want that. But what we do want,
right?
And I applaud the government now with its initiative.
Okay,
to keep the lights on.
Because this is what I'm saying.
So once I like the government with this strategy, to have this ongoing strategic initiative
reform.
In reference to reform, try to make sure that BPL and whatever company it is we operating keeps all the small business owner want, keep the lights on at an affordable price. That's it.
Right, at an affordable price. Okay. I'm absolutely for that. Keep the lights on and make it affordable. Here's another, for me as an advocate,
right.
understanding that our country has an archipelagic exterior, right? We can no longer tolerate conversations about these people want so many things, but they don't want to pay for it. In an archipelago, there are services that people have a constitutional right to access, equally and equitably with other citizens across the archipelago. People don't want an airport. They need an airport, just in case the substandard clinics that you force them to live with don't have enough Band-Aids to keep the wound sealed. They got to get on a plane and fly to New Providence and try find a spot at a pretending to be real hospital, right? There are things that people need, not want. Electricity is now one of those things. It's not a matter of wanting to have light on when you use the bathroom. It's a matter of needing access to electricity to engage in basic and necessary banking services for students and children, educational services, right? For family islanders, just staying in touch with the news and the changes in government policies requires access to communication services, which requires access to power. These are now basics that the government must acknowledge they have an obligation to provide equally and equitably across the archipelago. So from that point, let's transition. And Texas, I'm going to come to the text in a second. The minister said something very bold. The minister said, under BPL's existing tariff structure, residential customers and small and medium-sized businesses are subsidizing general service customers, i.e. high energy users. The minister also said, and I'm going to read from the article, we've stopped complaining on high light bills. Mrs. Colby Davis, meanwhile, said BPL's equity rate adjustment is designed to slash what she described as a $20 million subsidy that the present tariff structure provides annually to the utility's largest customers, the likes of the resort industry, food stores, and manufacturers. So the minister said that the majority of consumers are subsidizing to the tune of $20 million, I think, a year, larger users, right? In your experience in the business world, is this true? Are the smaller consumers that make up the majority of the consumers actually subsidizing the larger consumers? And when we understand that perhaps their categorization of small, medium-sized enterprises as consuming less than $800,000, we're acknowledging that that categorization is perhaps wrong or faulty. Mm-hmm. Is it true that the smaller consumers are subsidizing the larger businesses?
Well, basically, I don't have the empirical evidence of that. So I can't give what I call a statement towards that. But
have you ever heard any policymakers saying that before?
My question is, that statement, what do they mean by when they say subsidizing? Are they saying that the small or medium-sized businesses have to come and pay their light bill so that the corporation has cash because the bigger guys aren't paying their light bill?
Well, let's stick a pin right there and say, dear minister, please bring clarity to that statement.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Members of the business community are sort of shocked to hear this language even.
Right.
Let alone interrogating what it is you're actually saying.
But bear in mind now, that 800 kilowatts per hour, right?
Mm-hmm.
A lot of small business who paying a lot of VAT, because they don't, it's not a what I call a refundable thing to them.
Mm-hmm.
Is going to pay a little more in July, right? Because of the 800 kilowatts per hour, right?
Right.
So it seems that, and I urge all small business owners in the country, right, to monitor their light bill every month.
Mark, speak directly into
the government. I urge all small business owners every month to monitor their light bill. after July. Because I don't have empirical evidence based on my members and my clients about the statement that was made by the minister. However, everything is subjective to for more clarifications.
Yes.
That's very important. And there got to be more dialogue. That's why I urge the small business community to not stop here after the budget.
Mm-hmm.
Every month, look at their light bill. And Mr. Toot will see. Because he now know how much light bill he paying, right? So he say, every month, let's see what's going on. And then we can make a general statement, let's say by October, November, to see exactly what's going on. Because we like I said, the small business community are very happy that there is a strategic initiative by the PLP government to do some things in reference
to reform.
To reform. Yes. Because trust me, it could not go on forever. And a lot of businesses, it's not like Mr. Toot designed a boutique, right? Who sacrificed? Because it's a sacrifice to him.
Mm-hmm. Big sacrifice.
We can't afford to pay the generator. How much that cost, Mr. Toot? The generator.
Each location was $10,000.
You hear that?
Yes, $10,000.
And
$20,000.
What do you have to pay to secure those generators?
That was everything. That's labor. As labor and
constructing and security mechanisms for it.
That was everything.
Yeah. And you believe what happened one time? Someone was trying to steal the Robinson Road generator.
See, y'all too greedy. You see, y'all just too greedy. I wouldn't steal it. I just run a drop cord through the neighbor yard up in the tree to reduce. Current loss.
I mean, they're trying to. They tore the bunks. All I mean, we couldn't dream. That's why when we talk small business,
mm-hmm.
none of us work 9 to 5. I haven't worked 9 to 5 for 22 years, and of course, you know my disability, being blind in one eye, and you can see 50% of the eye.
Mm-hmm.
So that means I'm not even workable no more in reference to no 9 to 5. So I got to do what I got to do until I die in reference to small business development.
Mm-hmm.
Right, and there's a lot of small business owners who must function effectively and efficiently every day,
mm-hmm.
and of course national insurance. We already plan for that. That going up next couple of weeks. That we already plan for, so mm-hmm. we ain't worried about that. Now with the energy costs going up a little bit, we understand it going up a little bit. That's something it's not.
Well, listen, that's what I was about to.
We know we. To our conversation and our analysis,
yes,
it seemed that it's going up. It's going to go up, right?
Mm-hmm.
But how much it go up and how much reduction of the surcharge and all the rest of this other stuff, we got to look at the pros and cons, Peter and Paul, to see exactly what it was before
and
what it is going to be after July.
All right, so a couple of questions. The balancing, the minimum wage increase, the pending NIB increases July 1st, inflation, the proposed, and I say proposed because, like any good politician will tell you, what the Prime Minister say, sometimes you go in west and you get to in east, and you got to go down. Plans has changed. So the proposed cargo reform and customs and inflation, right? How are you balancing those? Do you have within your center economists that are resources for members? I got a text here that says, if the small business want the VAT refund, all they have to do is file to collect and charge VAT. That incurs extra costs. You need an accountant. You need somebody who could conduct audits properly. Does the center provide a service, do you provide an accountant, an auditor, who will, on behalf of the center, assist members or any small business that asks for assistance in compiling audits, or as a business that is not meeting the minimum threshold but can still charge VAT and collect VAT on behalf of the government?
No. We are not an advocate for small business owners who's not making over $100,000 to charge VAT or anything like that. But we do. We have CPAs on standby for mm-hmm. Small business owners
okay.
who have challenges or who needs the VAT filing and everything. If you're not making over $100,000, you can't charge VAT. We don't believe in that kind of stuff. You got to make up. You got to say you're making sales. You got to prove you're making sales, We also don't believe if you are making more than $100,000 and say that you're not making over $100,000. So all the audits and all that stuff
are important.
Reporting, and a CPA got to validate and make sure that everything is run properly. We're not a what I call a bushcrack man gone type of organization.
Mm-hmm.
We're not a petty shop organization. We believe in accountability and responsibility and everything. And in reference to the changes of our expenses, Mr. Tuka to talk about that in reference to his business, July 1st, mm-hmm. he got to deal so much other complexities, right, Mr. Tuka? Light bill, NIB and everything.
Yeah, it's just another factor in additional expenses, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Going through COVID, one of the main factors when we came out of that was shipping costs was astronomical, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Those costs are starting to come back down, right? But then you get hit with increase in minimum wage. You get hit with light bill, you get hit with NIB, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And when minimum wage went up, so did NIB, you know. Because remember, NIB is a percentage.
Mm-hmm.
So when you end up paying more in salaries, you have to then again pay more in NIB.
Mm-hmm.
Now the percentage on NIB goes up, you see.
Mm-hmm.
And what some business might not, one quick thing when the minimum wage went up, one quick thing with that is that when minimum wage went up, you might have some persons who already was making more than minimum wage in your organization. However, if you bring in someone from the bottom up and now they are at that person who was already up there or close to them, now you got to take that person up as well.
Mm-hmm.
So you got to just put everyone in your organization, you know, to be fair.
All right. Strategy, something that you said, the cost of bringing in goods, right? Inflation, shipping costs increase, and instability and uncertainty, right? Issues to deal with. Is the resource center, y'all sharing containers? Why y'all ain't buying and sharing containers? Why y'all ain't pooling your resources, buying your own containers so that you could cut out those extra shipping costs?
But
you're using your own containers to ship.
But bear in mind, there's a diversification in our membership, right?
Yeah,
and that's a challenge.
Not like that song's good, but the complexities in that is crazy in terms of when a container arrives in Nassau, which you got to go through with customs and everyone coming together.
If you leave in China, if you leave in Panama, if you leave in LA.
And of course, coming from different
consolidations places. And all that, that's a challenge, so, is it?
Okay.
That is very complex for a number of persons to share a container.
But what we do need is for cost to come down. And I saw Dwight, you know, a lot of small business owners saying that, man, we have a lot of VAT and surcharges and freight charges and mutual charges going on. And that's something that we need to address because with our small business owners, because at the end of the day, and this is very important,
mm-hmm.
our recommendations to the management team is not to pass on a little marginal cost mm-hmm. increase to the customer. So if we increase about $5 or whatever, we're going to raise all of our products
mm-hmm.
to accommodate that, right? But bear in mind that at the end of the day, you got to be profitable. No one is in business not to make a profit.
Mm-hmm.
And that's very important. That's why the cost, straight cost, that's why we always, our members, we always say, if you have any problems, with a county,
mm-hmm.
you need QuickBooks accounting, because I do training in QuickBooks accounting. I help them set up and everything.
Mm-hmm.
We help you set up QuickBooks accounting. We help you in entrepreneurship training. I'm also having another entrepreneurship training next week on Saturday.
Yes.
So we do a lot of training development to make it economical for our owners of our small business to operate effectively and efficiently. That's so important. Because at the end of the day, we cannot afford for our personal
mm-hmm.
to get in such a stand or whatever to go to business. Your family is.
Yeah.
And government cannot consume another employee.
Yeah? It's not like government where when you make a mistake, there are policies in place, there are measures in place. Like, look, we identify, we could fix it, we could train you better, blah, blah, blah. We could transition you when in business. When you fail, the money's gone.
Right, and that's why we are advocate for the Small Business Act. A survey is coming out now so that when legislation is taking place, we do not, listen to me good, after 1973.
Yeah. Call, I'll come to you in a second.
We do not have a definition of a micro, small, and medium size.
We don't have a legal definition.
Legal. We have one as an organization, but no financial institution, no government agency has an official one, and we need one. And hopefully by the next year, we'll have one.
Yeah, yeah. Take the call, man.
Yes.
Good morning, caller.
Good morning, Ms. Green. Good morning, dear guest.
Morning, morning.
Yeah, very bright gentleman. Is he from the Access Accelerator?
Mm-hmm.
No, I'm from the 242 Small Business Association Resource Center.
Yeah, but listen, man, I love what you're saying. And so I was trying to call Dwight the other morning. I don't know why they didn't take my call, but what you're saying is so important. So I'm a micro, right?
Mm-hmm.
And what you're saying is, like, it's somebody, we just need to be able to real, real dialogue for a period of time and clarity before they go on with any more implementations, okay?
Mm-hmm.
So what I'm saying is, you know, I thank God for my mom. You know, she's in the grave. I don't have to pay rent. But what I'm saying, it's an unfair balance in that the oligarchical structure they have set up as far as these, we don't have exemptions. I heard you talking about bringing in stuff. You know, the government should facilitate some type of, get rid of some of the bureaucracy or when we bring in stuff to the country. You know, we know the compilation of VAT as it moved from one state to the next, the VAT is added on. But then you're telling us to don't charge VAT. I don't. Because even my mom is living, we might be making more, obviously more than 100,000. And as a result of the pandemic, I lost contracts with Atlantis and some hotels and some business places because different management, et cetera, et cetera. So they don't look at that. But I'm paying VAT when I go to buy my products here. If I go in the store, I pay VAT. If I send a customer to go buy something, they pay VAT. But so it's something that's not being, it's something not right here. I'm paying VAT when I'm purchasing my goods. And trust me, these suppliers, they are very much taking advantage of that. But I don't see any facilitation as far. For me, it's too much red tape for me. Let's say I want to bring in a vehicle or I want to bring in some stuff that I could avoid just the expense here and bring it in. They're not facilitating this. So how am I supposed to get ahead? They only are giving concessions, still giving concessions for most of them. And just the way I see it. It just can't work this way, but, you know, I just, because I'm not paying rent, that don't mean I'll move ahead, but there's a lot of impediments. I want to become a supplier. There's a lot of impediments that they do. They're not facilitating. They're only talking, and especially for the inner city that the administrator initiated, but it was still, you restricted it to a certain parameter. The inner city is the inner city. So these are just meaningless conversations unless people are really listening to people. You're paying VAT, but you can't charge it. That's what you're trying to tell me now. That's the way for me to make money, but I am not. I wouldn't charge a person VAT, but what I'm saying, what difference does it make when the government is doing it in every stage, they're charging you VAT. How am I supposed to get ahead? Bless up.
Thank you, 52. Thank you very much. Let's go to the next caller quickly. Good morning, caller.
Good morning, Aaron. How are you?
I'm good, thank you. How are you?
Good, thank you. Good morning to your guests and good morning to the nation. I'm listening to the conversation, going back to the point that you spoke about regarding, you said the minister stated those who consume a lot more electricity are making it difficult or much more expensive.
No, I'm going to read both quotes for you, right? Mrs. Colby Davis signaled that SMEs and companies that do not wrong quote. Under BPL's existing tariff structure, residential customers and small and medium-sized businesses are subsidizing general service customers, i.e. high energy users, Colby Davis said. And under BPL's existing tariff, that's the same quote. That's a quote right there, right? And he said that there's a this reform is intended to slash the $20 million subsidy, right, which is the largest group of consumers, but lowest in consumption, supporting somehow, we're still not clear on that, the smallest group of consumers that have the highest rate of consumption.
Yeah, I've been saying that for the last 20 years, Aaron, and I believe that wholeheartedly. As a matter of fact, during the Christie administration, during the first Christie administration, mm-hmm. I was strongly recommending that they review the platform for how they construct charges to smaller suppliers or small supply users than that of the bigger. Mm-hmm. Because in my view, and this is from a layman's perspective, and even a common sense approach, it's almost similar to VAT, and VAT being a digressive tax as it relates to those who are most able to afford it versus those who are least able to afford it. Similar comparison with those who put the most stress on the BPL as it relates to usage and demand for usage and demand for consistent high-level usage versus those who put the least stress on the BPL infrastructure based on the very low and minimal usage and demand for low and minimal usage every single month.
Absolutely. Thank you very much, Anton. I'm all out of time. A text here. How can small businesses be a part of the group? How do we contact you? How do we join?
Okay, basically, call or WhatsApp or text 427-3640. That's Mark A. Turnquist, president, 427-3640, and I'll send your application.
Absolutely.
Email.
Okay. Thank you very much, Mr. Turnquist.
Wow, we have some good time in here today.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's going fast, eh?
We have to have you guys back on because there's more to explore in the discussion,
yeah.
Including the quote from the Chamber of Commerce and Employers Confederation, and as they raise concerns that the plan, the reform, to hike the cost of electricity for consumers using more than 800 kilowatt hours a month will adversely impact some businesses, leading them to increase the price of goods and services to offset this. Gentleman, thank you very much for joining me today. We are on our way out. I even didn't get a chance to say to the central bank, y'all put another pedestrian crossing on Market Street right there by the gate where all your staff just pop right out, forgetting there's a road on the other side of the gate.
I like the end. Small business, small business, small business.
Thank you, Mr. Turnquist. Y'all have a great day. Guardian Radio AM with C.A. Newry is up next.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM, Nassau, Bahamas.